go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host, here with another great episode this week. Well, this week we're going to dig into some practical advice that I can give you. We're going to dig into the six or seven biggest mistakes that I see firearms retailers making. These are things that if you go in and if you're doing them, if you change it, and if you do a pivot from it, and if you do the work to make the changes necessary, it will make a huge difference in your bottom line. Now, let me give the disclaimer. If you're just looking to run your establishment, your gun shop, or other business status quo, you're not looking to change anything, you're really fine with how things are, no point in even listening. But if you want to be more effective, if you want to make more money, and if you want to get yourself an exit plan to someday sell this gun shop and get your retirement out of it, like I know I want to do, then listen. These things will help you grow immensely. So again, we're going to dive into things that most firearms retailers are doing wrong. The first thing that comes to mind is that they typically operate their store like an old boys club. Don't take into account customers. It's really, they're just kind of doing their thing. They're running their shop like they always have. Yeah, I may have been there for 10, 20, 30 years. Typical shop, you've got some paneling on the walls a lot of times. You've got a lot of glass cases. You've got two grumpy guys behind the counter. When you go in there as a customer, you've got all of about 5 minutes to buy what you want. If you've got too many questions, you can just get out. If you ask to see more than a gun or two, you can just get out. If you don't speak the lingo and you don't, you're not an experienced shooter, you can just get out. And then oftentimes, even if you don't fit their particular idea of what their customer is, if you're older or younger than their normal customer, a lot of times you don't get treated well either. But that's got to stop. If you really want your business to be successful, you need to really take a look at how you're running things. I mean, you need to really embrace the new demographic of today's shooters. What we're seeing in the industry today is that it's growing at a crazy fast pace. And certainly some of that was driven by COVID and some of the events that happened after COVID. But what we're seeing, though, is it's a completely different demographic that's jumping in. Like, we're seeing more ladies than ever shooting. We're seeing more older folks ever than shooting. We're seeing more younger folks. We're seeing folks on the political spectrum where they would not normally come within 10 feet of a gun coming in and wanting to buy a gun or two and learn how to use them properly. The more you embrace the way things are going and the way where things are headed, and the new type of customers, the more you think about making them comfortable and getting them to come into your store and come back again and spend some money, the more successful you're going to be. So you really need to stop doing the status quo and stop worrying about the way you've done it forever and think about how you can do it better. Think about how you can, make people feel more comfortable. Think about how people can be more at home in your store and want to come back. Make it a pleasant place, not some place I have to come as a necessary evil because it happened to be close to me. Because believe me, people will drive. Like for our main location of Sheepdog, we see customers commonly drive an hour or more. They'll be in the area for one reason or whatever. They'll stop in and they'll get treated right. And they'll be like, we're not doing business anywhere else. We don't care how far of a drive it is. We're coming back. And then they're going and telling their friends, and their friends are making that drive too. So if you really think about the new demographic of the new type of shooters that are coming in and really work to embrace them and work to not do things like you used to do, you'll be much more successful. The next thing that comes to mind is a lot of shops don't listen to their customers. And this is a really wide statement. I mean, it can be some things such as simple of, hey, you know what? They carry the product mix that they want to carry and they don't listen to what people are asking for. For example, maybe they're typically a Glock shop. And given Glock's a great gun, but it's not for anybody. Everybody, there's going to be people that want a Glock and something else, or just something else, or maybe they're just 1911 guys. They don't listen to their customer and what they're asking for, and they just carry what they want to carry because they carry what they like. You really need to think about things of making those choices of carrying the things that your customers like, that your customers want, that your customers are going to come in and spend their money on. Remember, you're not shopping with your money, that your customers are shopping with their money. So therefore, they should be the ones that are able to take and drive the product mix you have. If you want to sell more product, you have to have more of the right product on the shelves. It's just that simple. You know, we all like to think that we can order things in for customers, and yeah, that works sometimes. But I tell you, if you have things there on display and you have a wide variety of mix on display and things that maybe you wouldn't normally carry, it will make a big difference in how much you're selling and who you're selling to. Now, given, you know, we pick some new things to show and throw out in the showroom, and sometimes they're flop. You know, they just don't sell. They sit there. They'll age out at 60 or 90 days, and we'll have to discount them heavily to move them or throw them online on GunBroker. That's okay. You're not going to hit a home run every time. You got to keep jumping up the bat. You got to keep trying new things and bringing in new products. And when something resonates, then expand on it. But pay very attention to your stock churn. You should be able to run a report and be able to tell, hey, how long has each particular gun been sitting in my shop? And if you get some that are sitting there, you know, over 30 days, sometimes even 60, or man, if they make it to 90, you should really be dumping that off somewhere soon. You know, that's different if you're buying a quantity buy and you're buying way more than you need for the next few months just because you're getting such a good deal. You know, that's a whole different story. But I'm talking about, you know, when you have one of something and it's sat there for a long time and it hasn't sold, you know, you got to move it and try something else. Every area, every store is different. The product mix is always different. But the key is to listen to your customers. I'll even take that as far in a few other areas. You know, obviously what you carry is very important. But, you know, listen to your customers' feedback. You know, if you get a customer that leaves a negative review, don't just discount them. You know, don't just do what we normally do and get defensive and all those sorts of things. Reach out to that customer and ask them what you can do to make it right. Ask them what you can do better. And what they're going to tell you is pure gold. What they're going to tell you will be far better than you can buy information for from anybody else. It'll just be usually true. 90, we find with these when we do this, you know, 80-90% of the time, it's great, valuable insight. 10 to 20, you just get people that are just angry and just want to complain, or we even get people that haven't even been in our store. We don't know. Maybe it's a competitor. Maybe it's somebody else. Regardless, we try not to worry about that, but we at least try to reach out to everyone that has an issue and try to make it right. Sometimes it's a review, or sometimes it's just people. Somebody will make a comment on one of our Facebook pages about, oh, hey, watch out for this or whatever. We'll always reach out to them and try to make contact. Sometimes they won't respond, but most of the time they will. And most of the time they are very, very happy. And we've even turned some relationships around where people have came in just at a particular time and just everything hasn't went exactly the way they expected it, but we're able to turn that around and turn that person back into a customer. But it all starts with listening to your customer and letting them drive the direction you're going, letting them drive your product mix, letting them drive what they think of the experience. You know, we can think we're doing a fantastic job all day long, and if it doesn't go through to our customers, it's just a waste of time. It's not gonna equal sales, which sales equal staying in business and equal feeding our families and having the money to be able to grow our business and to serve more, sell more freedom. You know, another big thing that comes to mind is just typically the way the typical gun stores are set up and really how uncustomer friendly they are. You just miles and miles of glass cases. A counter that often stretches all the way around the establishment. You know, a few problems. We'll dig into the glass cases first. To me, those I understand. You know, people think from a security standpoint that that's a fantastic thing. But problem is the people factor. You know, as a person, if I go into a gun shop and I want to look at guns, and they have them in glass cases. It's a rare occasion I know exactly what I want. If I just want to look at some different things and see some options, you know, I'll ask them to pull this out or pull that out. And usually by the time I get to around the third, sometimes maybe even the fourth item, I may want to see 10 more. But by that time, usually the employee's patience is going, my patience is going, because I just don't want to bother this person anymore because I can see that, hey, maybe there's people lined up. Maybe they seem busy with other things, or maybe it's just I just don't want to inconvenience them, which is completely wrong that I'm thinking that way. But that is the way I think. And I believe a lot of other customers in all different industries think that way. Well, with having the glass cases, you know, you're really limiting the amount of guns a customer can touch. You're limiting the amount of people you can be interacting with as an employee. You're really limiting, and in the end, you're limiting your sales, and which therefore limits your profits. So I would highly suggest checking into some of the other alternative arrangements that are available now. There's great ways to tether those guns in place so people can actually come up to them and touch them and handle them, under your supervision, of course, but you can have four or five people that are browsing, and then you can, without having to bother them and without them having to bother you to pull this out of the case, pull that out of the case. I can't tell you how many guns we've sold at Sheepdog because of the fact that people were able to come and just touch things and pick them up without having to ask. Literally hundreds of times people have said, hey, I never would have bought this gun. I never would have picked this gun up. I never would have asked you to pull this gun out of the case. But because they were able to just walk up to it and take 10 seconds and pick it up, then it engaged them and it started them down the path of looking into it where they never would have before. So in the end, that definitely makes a big difference of us is you'll have somebody come in for one gun and then they'll end up buying two, sometimes three, or they'll just end up coming in not planning on buying anything and leaving with a new gun anyway. So I would definitely suggest ditching the glass cases for most things, especially firearms. And then the same thing, you have when you have the long guns hung up on a wall or sometimes behind glass or whatever the case is. Yeah, it's making some people really have to ask to pull something out. I mean, look at even when you go to like a Target or a Walmart or something, and it's an item that they happen to have in a case. You know, whether it's you're picking up a new Xbox game for your kid or whether you're going to get anything, like even some places, even things like, razors and crazy stuff that must be a highly stolen item, but they'll have them locked up. And I can tell you how many times have you went into a store and because you had to deal with that or you couldn't get an employee quick enough or whatever, you would have bought something, but you didn't. So sales are definitely lost when things are behind glass. And understand sometimes it's a necessary evil, but I would urge you to highly take a look at the alternatives and see if you can find a better way to do it and a more customer engaging way of doing it. And same thing, those glass cases, not only do they provide, the guns inside them, but they also create distance between your employees and the customer, which from a connection standpoint isn't good. You think about it, it's almost like you're at a fast food restaurant ordering or something. There's a separation there, and it's hard to make that connection. For us to connect to a customer and for us to really understand their needs, we have to have an open conversation. And when there's a counter in the way, that just to me, that puts a little bit of mental distance between you and them. And sometimes that can mean a sale. That can mean truly helping a person find what they need. That can mean them feeling uncomfortable versus comfortable. A lot of negative things. There'll be some areas where, yes, it'll make sense to put a register behind a counter, maybe for some people. However, we're actually testing a concept where we're not doing it at all. So our new store that's going into the Dyer, Indiana area is actually going to be set up sort of like, think like Apple Store of gun shops. It's actually going to be big and open and airy, and there's going to be no counter in the place at all. There's going to be a lot of displays. Everything will be tethered. Our staff will be able to roam. And there'll be registers kind of integrated into some of the furniture and places where you can walk up to them. And then the employees can use them for ringing out transactions. The customers will also use them to complete their 4473s on. So it will be a really neat solution to closely integrate the customer with the employee and to make them feel comfortable. So we will see how that goes, and we'll certainly report back, but we have a feeling based upon the things we've done in our other stores that it will turn out really well, and if so, it will be the new standard for us going forward as we open more locations. Another big thing that most firearms retailers do wrong is customer service is often an afterthought. They don't design the flow of the facility. They don't design things around the customer experience. They don't design their processes to help the employees provide awesome customer service. When we look at things holistically and we look at all of our processes internally, we're really looking at it from a customer's point of view. So really we are taking and putting ourselves in the customer's shoes, putting ourselves in our shoes when we've visited other places and the things we don't like, and trying to improve that flow. And in the end, it's all about that customer and making them feel at home, making them feel comfortable, making them feel like, gosh, I can't wait till I come back here. Doing the right thing, treating them right, doing exactly what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it. Things happen. No one's perfect. It's certainly not always, all roses, but, we try to do our best, and if we make a mistake, we try to make it right for them. That being said, there's a ton that goes into that. It's not just an easy thing. There's a lot of training. There's a lot of ongoing changes. And, you know, everything we do, there's a constant ongoing process improvement program going on. We don't just settle for things that are right now. We're always trying to get to the next level and the next level and improve things. And we find that the more we focus on that, and the more we focus on the customers, the sales and growth just happen. If we take care of that customer will take care of us. And the more we can make them have just a fantastic experience and something completely different than they experience everywhere else, the more we're going to thrive and grow. The more locations we'll open, and again, the better living we'll make for our families, our ability to retire, and all those sorts of things that come along with it. You know, the next thing that comes to mind is a lot of firearms retailers are short-sighted on a lot of things. Like, for example, one big portion of that is a lot of them will overcharge for transfers. We have shops by us charging $50, $75 a pop for gun transfers. And to me, that's just being short-sighted. Sure, are you not making the sale of that gun to that customer because they bought it online? Yeah, absolutely. However, we all have to remember that the lowest margin item in the store typically is the firearm itself. We're going to be far more profitable on ammunition, on holsters, on lights, on night sights, extra services, optics. All those sorts of things have a better margin than a gun. So if we're just so butthurt that we didn't sell the customer the gun, we're just leaving stuff on the table. We're making customers go other places. We'd love customers to come into our store so that we have a chance to turn them into a long-term customer. Maybe they bought their new pistol online. Yeah, maybe I didn't have it. Maybe they got a smoking deal on it. There's always some new online retailer that's trying to rush and go out of business faster than everybody else and just, race to the bottom on price. Hey, if they want to save a few bucks and that's the route they choose to take, we accept it. We're not a fan. We try to provide so many value adds that they just want to get it through us. But, if they don't, we still want that customer. And there's still so many other things that we can add onto that sale, to make it worth our time. Even if we're not charging a huge amount for the transfer, we can usually make up some of that ground on selling them accessories and other things that they can take home with them. Now, will that happen every time? No. There's certain customers that just won't be our customer. Everybody is not the same. Everybody does not have the same personality. Everybody does not feel the same about things. So you'll never have a chance of converting 100%, but you can convert a big percent of those customers, and you can turn a lot of them into loyal customers and raving fans. So I highly suggest you to take a look at your transfer fees. Like I say, don't look short-sighted. Really the last thing I'm going to leave you with, this is kind of a bonus one. This is really a right now thing. However, I don't know when it's going to end. It's probably going to take a while, like most things. But right now, there are so many retailers, especially in our area, that are just price gouging badly. People realize, hey, most gun shops are going to pay the same if they're around the same size. They're likely going to pay about the same for products. If they're in a buying group, they'll pay a little bit less, if they get a good deal on it or something. But when there's retailers out there that are selling firearms for $100 more on a $500 gun, they're selling it for $6 and somebody else is selling it for $5. Or if it's ammunition and, you're still trying to sell 9mm for $40 a box for range ammo, and, others have it for $19, $20, $25. People are smart. They're not as dumb as you think. They may pay your price once or twice just to have it because they really need it. But you know what? You know what's going to happen as soon as things get back to normal? As soon as prices start to fall, they're gone. And they're going to remember, then you just became the guys that, hey, these are the guys that are taking the cash grab and gouging us. We're seeing it in every industry. And heck, if you guys have a gun shop, that we're even seeing it through some of the distributors or some of them that are just going crazy and the prices are trying to sell stuff. And here's the interesting thing is some of the larger ones, hey, I can buy this ammunition for this price. And then the other people up the street, the other distributor, is trying to sell it for $4 more a box. Well, I can tell you most likely they paid almost exactly the same from the manufacturer. So the one's just trying to get an extra $4 a box out of their dealers. Shame on them. As a 2A community during this time, we need to come together and just, hey, we're all here to make a living. We're all here to feed our families. We're all here to get some cash to be able to grow. However, we can keep it civilized and keep it from being just excessive. We're here to, I don't know about you guys, but we're here to serve our customers. We really consider our customers like family here at Sheepdog, and we want to make sure that they're coming back to us for a long time. You know, so while everybody else is gouging and grabbing their little extra cash, we're keeping our margins, but we're not jacking it up and becoming excessive. And what we're doing is we're trying to take everybody else's customers. You know, we're using this time to grow and to, you know, create those relationships with people that they're going to remember. You know, people are not just going to forget. Oh, hey, weren't you the guys that are still, we're still selling 9 for $40 a box? Yeah, those guys. Oh, I'm not going back there. You know, we see that so much. And people come in and say, hey, you know what? We appreciate you guys being straight up about it. We appreciate you keeping your prices in check. And not just charging us more because you can. You know, I'm not allergic to money. I mean, I certainly love making a profit and love being able to grow the business and those sorts of things. However, I'm not going to do it at the expense of taking advantage of my customers. That will just not happen here. So those of you that are out there that are doing this, I highly suggest you take a look at it. And be transparent with your customers. You know, be open and honest. If you're in this for the long haul, if you're in it to truly serve, to truly take care of people and to truly, and you know, help them to exercise their Second Amendment rights, then do the right thing. You know, take care of the people first. The money will come. You know, you don't have to worry about that. If you take care of the people, the sales will come, the profits will come, your business will do well and will thrive. Where if you just focus on that cash and chasing dollars, and you know, and don't worry about the things that I told you about, you know, if you still don't listen to your customers, if you're still running your store like an old boys club, if you're still carrying the same old products, if you still have miles and miles of glass cases in your store, if customer service is still an afterthought, and if you're still overcharging for transfers, you know, your days are limited. There will be somebody that'll come along that'll do things the way we're doing them, and they will just hand your ass to you. You will be done. It might not be an overnight thing, but your numbers will start going down. Things aren't going to stay like this forever. It's definitely a seller's market, but that's not going to last forever. And nor should it even matter. If we're doing the right thing and if we're doing this for the right reasons and we're here to stand up for the Second Amendment and we're here to equip our people and to make sure everyone has what they need, taking advantage of people is not something that should ever cross our minds. I hope you got some value from today's show. If you have any questions, feel free to hit me up in the DMs. I'm on Facebook, Sheepdog Firearms. We're a couple different Facebooks for our different locations. Website, sheepdogfirearms.com. The Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast, we're also on Facebook. SteveShaubacher.com is my website. Lots of different ways to connect to me, connect to the other folks at Sheepdog. Please don't hesitate to ask any questions. Please don't hesitate. Love to hear what you think about these things and these suggestions. If we can be of help, service to you, please let us know. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to share this podcast with someone you think could also get value from it. Until next week, this is Steve Schaubacher. Thanks for tuning in to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.